G'day everyone, it's Ian here. On a, sorry to sound boring, but quite spectacular evening. It's probably about 25, 26 degrees. It's completely clear sky. In the west, the sun has set. It's beyond dusk. The west is an azure blue, but to the east it is going into the deep purples towards black. We're moving into night. And the wind is blowing a cool, refreshing breeze over me. And it's truly glorious. We're really lucky here in Brisbane. We've had some spectacular, glorious days. And yeah, they've been a little bit warm, but yeah, certainly not the stifling humidity that you'd expect at this time of year. So it's been incredibly nice. Down south, down the Blue Mountains, where they had the fires a couple of months ago, they've been having 42 degree days. Oh, God, I know what that feels like. Now, 42 degrees is tough if you've never experienced it. But while they were doing that, we were just having mid-20s. Yeah, we weren't even getting up to 30. And the humidity's comfortable. Yeah, 60, 70%, I suppose. It is just beautiful. Just so nice. And I'm down here walking beside the river on this evening, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to shout myself a meal. I don't normally buy myself meals. I'm a bit spoiled. I'm a pretty good cook. And I find it difficult to go out and shout myself a meal when I know that I can probably prepare an equally nice meal at home for far less expense. But I thought I might go up to the fish shop up the road and get myself a nice fish and chips or something similar sort of meal that I don't normally prepare for myself. And I thought I'd share with you a secret, dear audioboo listener. A secret that is not that well known, but it's in everybody's awareness. Everybody knows about it. Everybody's heard it countless times. But it's a secret that most people don't listen to and don't hear. And I thought I'd share it to you from a story of my own life. Back in 2000, I was turning 40. And something had been building for a while. I was about 4 years out of my marriage, three, 4 years out of my marriage, and I was, the problem with a breakup like that after a significant amount of time is you don't know when you're over it, do you? You look back in hindsight and you go, yeah, I think I'm over it, and then you go through another crisis and you go, no, I really wasn't. And it's not until you're well beyond the last crisis that you do realise that that was the last one. So I was still going through that cycle. It took me 4 years to get over the collapse of my marriage. And in amongst that, I was dealing with what I would say is the societal pressures of being a man with a child about 40 years of age. The expectations that our society puts on us, the things that we're supposed to have in place by the time we're 40. You know, the career, the wife, the couple of kids, the maybe a house, really nice house that probably you've paid off by now, or at least a big chunk of it, and maybe you've got one or two investment properties and a share portfolio, and your career is on fire and yada yada yada, because if you haven't got that, you haven't been serious about what you're supposed to do in this Western model society. And it was starting to come back and bite me, and it was biting me in subtle and not so subtle ways. A great deal of stress was developing, and I was having trouble sleeping, and I was trying to ameliorate it in all sorts of different ways using the strategies that I always had. And in 2000, a good friend of mine suggested I go off and for no other reason than give it a shot, you know. It's not so much to fix the problem, but just go and do it for the experience, because it's pretty cool experience. I went off on a meditation retreat to learn Vipassana. Vipassana meditation, mindfulness meditation. The two words Vipassana and mindfulness are interchangeable. They mean the same thing. So I went up to the Sunshine Coast, a couple of hours north of here, and for 10 days I went on a meditation retreat and learned the principles of mindfulness meditation. And I hated it. It was one of the most difficult things I've ever done in my life. I just friggin' hated it. It was boring and it drove me to despair. And I was doing it so tough because we're doing something like about 6 hours of meditation a day, and there was no communication with any of the other participants, and we were segregated into male and female, but we were not communicating with each other. I don't mean not talking, I mean not communicating. There were no non-verbals going on. If you saw somebody at a doorway, you didn't make eye contact with them. You stopped and paused and allowed them to pass, and then you went through. You had no communication. For 7 days of those 10 days, I could not have told you who I was sharing the same room with, because I never acknowledged his existence for those 7 days. I was completely in my own little world learning this skill. And it was really, really hard. Quite a few of my friends have now done Vipassana, and some of them have found it wonderful and joyous and liberating and restful and relaxing. You know, it's different for different people, but for me it was brutally hard. And it's because if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Yeah, I'm fully attentive and I'm on task. And I found it incredibly difficult to do. And something started to shift around about day 6 or 7. And I started to get it. And by the end of the 10 days, I was in this really nice place. And when I got out of it and came back into society, I had a sense of elation. You come out on quite a high, which lasts a few days. You know, some beautiful brain chemistry is happening. And I had a lovely time. But that was a skill I learnt. And for a while I continued the practice diligently, and then it slowly drifted off. And I was doing less and less meditation, and eventually I stopped. But I didn't forget the principles and the practices that I learnt of accepting. Primarily, there's several of them, but the primary one that I learnt is accepting what's happening in the moment. And it was, I've always said that all of these mumbo-jumbo philosophies are just noise. It's the way you see them in your life where they have purpose. And if they have purpose, if they have value and they work out in real life, well, great, continue to use them. And if they don't, throw them away. Goal setting, for argument's sake, as the Western model puts down, I have attempted many times and it has constantly failed for me. I think goal setting is a crock of shit. Broad generalisation there, we'll go into that another time. But accepting this, the situation, accepting the moment, accepting what's going down, seemed to be working for me. And then it happened. In May 2001, it's funny, it's really funny how even after all these years it still gets to me. In May 2001, my sister died in a horse riding accident. And it was bad. It was one of those really nasty situations that every family goes through from time to time. And I had to rise to the occasion. Now, I was right in the middle, in May, of a major meltdown. You could say I was having a nervous breakdown. You could say I was having a depressive episode. I actually I don't know what you'd call it, but I was right in the middle of it. About 4 weeks prior to it, I'd started going to some really dark place. And then my sister died. And I got that horrible phone call that afternoon. And all of a sudden, I was into action. It was time to support the family. I picked up Dad. We raced up to Toowoomba. We did what we had to do, organised the service, buried her. It all happened. And during that period, I got, a couple times, quite upset, as you can well imagine. But what I was getting upset about was how I was going to miss her in the future. And what would it mean for me not to have her in my life? And I was reminiscing about the past and our childhood together. But I remembered what I had to do. I remember driving down Ruthven Street, the main road of Toowoomba. And I remember thinking, I am driving the car. That's all I'm doing. I'm sitting in the car, I'm driving the car. It's all okay. And guess what? All of the emotion just went away. I still knew the reality. I still knew that Rhonda was gone. I still knew we had to deal with the ramifications of that. But the pain and the suffering was suddenly gone, and I was free of it, and I could function, and I could do what had to be done. And it was just an epiphany to understand the power of this. It was quite extraordinary. After we buried Rhonda, I came back to my world, and in an incredibly selfish way, that period in which we were worrying, in which we were dealing with her dying, was really wonderful for me because it gave me something to do. It gave me a sense of purpose. It gave me a place to be within my culture and my society, to have some purpose in life, which I was struggling to find because I wasn't fitting the social paradigm. But that had to end, and it took a week, and it was done and dusted, and I came back home to my vacuous existence, and I struggled with it. And I went back into that very dark place. And I was sitting with my ex-wife out at the property which we owned at the time, by the campfire, drinking a beer, staring into the embers, watching the sparks rise. And there was a night much like tonight. Beautiful, beautiful night. The wind and the eucalypts. And just beautiful. My little daughter, who was probably, how old was Sabina been? She would have been about 10 or 11 at the time. She was around the place, running around. It was glorious. And I was having a major meltdown inside. I was having a panic attack, as a matter of fact, the only panic attack I've ever had in my life. And I could feel this raging, screaming, horrendous psychological condition happening inside my head, inside my body, and I was really doing it tough. And I remember turning around to my wife and saying, I need help, this is not good. And she offered me some advice, which was to go and see a particular person and get some acupuncture, which over the next couple of days I did, and with a bit of therapy and coming back to mindfulness, concentrating on the moment, things started to lift and things got better. Prior to all of this happening, prior to 97, prior to my marriage going belly up, I think natively I'm an incredibly happy person. That's my nature. My mum tells the story that I was the happiest baby she had ever seen in her life. I was always cooing and giggling. I'm naturally a very positive person. But after my marriage went belly up, I went to a really dark place. Now, I still don't know if it was depression. And I purposefully didn't get assessed for it, because I knew if I had affronted up to a doctor, they just would have whacked me onto some sort of antidepressants. And I knew that wasn't the way to go. Not saying it isn't the way to go if it's a situation for you, but it wasn't the way to go for me. I knew that I could pull myself with a little bit of assistance out of it without going down the medication path. Sometimes I think for some people, medication is appropriate, but that was my call. And it was appropriate because within a couple of months, I had picked myself up by the bootstraps and I'd moved on somewhat. Now, over the next couple of years, I've gone back to a little bit of a dark place. Never as deep as that, thank God. But I've had moments where I've been somber, sad. I don't want to say depressed because I don't even think I ever was. But I don't know, maybe I was. But I've had moments. And recently, I'd say the last 2 years, I don't go there at all. Ever. I'm back to being my happy self. And it's something I warned my daughter about. I said, don't indulge moroseness, sadness, depression. Don't indulge it. It's not your nature. She's much like me. She's a very happy, positive person. Don't learn how to be depressed. Because I think my neural pathways were such that I actually didn't know how to do somber or depressed. I didn't have the pathways. And what happened is as my marriage went belly up, I learned how to walk a new pathway. And over those couple of years, I continued to walk that pathway. And I actually, you know, worked my way through the brambles, between the trees and trod down the grass and created a bit of a path. Well, that happened relatively quickly, just over a few years. But since then, I've been using the practices that I've learned at that the Vipassana course to purposefully not walk on that path. And I think what's happened is the brambles have grown back over it and the grass has come up and the pathway in my mind, those neural pathways, have withered away. And now I can keep a very positive view on everything in life, even some really nasty shit that goes down from time to time. I can keep it all in perspective because I don't indulge it. Now, I don't indulge it because I use a simple practice of mindfulness, of simply accepting the moment. And this is the secret. This is the secret I want to share with you because it's not a secret. It has been talked about ad nauseum for thousands of years. You only have now. The past is gone, the future is yet to come, the only reality is now. And if you sit in now, everything, and I mean everything, is okay. And even if it's uncomfortable, like you're getting a cavity drilled out by the dentist, yeah, okay, it's uncomfortable, but all you do is you worry about that event in that moment. There's no use worrying about it the day before because it hasn't happened yet. And after it's gone, well, it's over. So why bother getting all hung up about the fact that the dentist was sort of driving the drill into your nerve? You worry about it in the moment. And when you focus on the event and just accept it because, hey, you've got to get that cavity ripped out in order to have a filling put in, you just accept it and deal with it. And you do whatever's necessary in that moment. And I've been living by that principle for these off and on 13 years, and it works. Now, it's one thing to say to live by those practices, it's another thing to practice those practices. And I haven't really mentioned this to the Audioboo community. It's something I don't talk about a lot, but I'm going to say it because I think it's really profound. Every morning I get up, it doesn't matter how tired I am, I get up and I sit on a stool for 20 minutes and meditate using those practices I learned at Vipassana. And it's a really simple meditation. Just be present in the moment. That's all it is. Now, it's not thinking about, you know, whatever events or spiritual stuff. It's none of that. It's just being present. It's just being aware of my breathing, sitting there. It's really boring in that sense. It's so simple. And I am crap at it. I am totally friggin' hopeless at it. I can hold my concentration on the moment for maybe, and I'm pretty proud of this, maybe a second or two now. And that's after, and I've been doing it now every morning for the last 3 years. I've gone from maybe being able to hold my attention on the moment from half a second to 2 seconds after 3 years. And I don't think it matters. Because even though I'm absolutely crap at it, of achieving the goal, as if there was a goal to it, even though I'm crap at it, I seem to be having these benefits that are amazing. And they're benefits that are in my life. Benefits of contentment, happiness, compassion, empathy for other people, less judgment. It's assisting me to be a better person. It's assisting me to live a life that I think helps both myself and the people around me. And it's simply because I'm taking the time to sit on a stool for 20 minutes every morning. If I'm after a goal of not thinking, I'm crap at it. But that doesn't seem to matter. It just seems to matter that I sit on the stool. And my life is getting better and better and better. And when the little shit storms of life come about from time to time, it's like I'm coated in Teflon. It just falls off me. I am at the happiest I have been since I was probably in my 30s, when I was living with my wife and daughter on a very beautiful block of land. We had some very good things on track. Some things weren't working. Yeah, my life isn't perfect at the moment. Yeah, I've talked to you about my finances. But it's good enough. And in some ways, it was good enough back then too. And I'm very content with that. And it's not because I want more or I want less or I'm struggling with anything. It's because I accept it. I accept the full gamut of what life is dealing up to me. There are still challenges. There's no easy fixes for anything. There's still effort required. But my emotional attachment to having to get my way has just gone away. And I am just so incredibly content. And it's really quite a beautiful place to be in my life. I've been to a very dark place some 12 years ago. And I never, ever want to go back there again. And I can honestly tell you that it was simply because I have sat on a stool for 20 minutes, particularly in these last 3 years, every morning, and I've tried my best to be very bad at being mindful of what I'm thinking and accept the world around me. And it works.